there's consequences, behavior-based safety, whatever you want to call it. So I want to kind of, when Dwayne texted me yesterday morning and said he wasn't feeling good and asked if I could take the class, I said, I guess I can come up with something. Because actually, I never did get to cover everything that I wanted to cover last time. So I can assure you today, I'm not going to cover everything that I want to cover this time. So it's going to be an ongoing saga. So next time around, you're going to hear some more, but of the ABCs. But what I want to talk about today and focus on today and the next time Dwayne allows me the opportunity to come before the class, I want to talk about the positive consequences of Christian living. So I want to start with our scripture this morning, and it's found in Daniel chapter 6. And we're all familiar with the perils of Daniel and the lion's den. But I want to cover some of the positive parts of it. In Daniel chapter 6, starting in verse 16, we're going to go down through verse 23. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, Thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. We're in verse 18 now. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou serve continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then Daniel said unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me, forasmuch as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in God. As we mentioned a couple of weeks ago, our attitudes affect our behaviors, and our behaviors is going to impact the consequences, whether it's good or bad. We went over some of the negative consequences, and now I want to address some of the positive consequences. So this week I want to delve into the question, are there consequences? Consequences to what our actions, thoughts, words? And the answer is yes, there are. Too often, however, we rely on the following verse from the Bible in relation to our wrong actions, thoughts, and words, and think that once God forgives us, there are no consequences. But that is wrong thinking. And we find that in one of the study lessons that Dwayne brought before us, and that's in 1 John 1, 8 through 10. And in the message, the Bible states in verse 8, if we claim that we're free of sin, we're only fooling ourselves. On the other hand, if we admit our sins, make a clean breast of them, he won't let us down. He'll forgive our sins and purge us of our wrongdoings. In verse 10, if we claim that we've never sinned, we out and out contradict God, making a liar out of him. In verses 8 and 10, it tells me that everyone sins. Nobody living on the earth, the past, present, or future, is free from sin except Jesus. Therefore, if sin can't stand in God's presence, what are we to do to get right with God? And that's the ABCs. Admit our sins, believe on him, commit to Him to live a Christian life. Verse 9 tells us we need to admit our sins to God, and He will forgive us and cleanse us of those sins. Now that our sin is forgiven, we are free to enter the presence of God when He calls us home. That's the reason we need to repent of our sin, so God can forgive us and cleanse us. Is that the end? I don't believe so in some cases. For example, if I was a bank robber and then I become a Christian, and then I gave my life to God, and I repented of my sin, would there still be consequences to my actions? Of course there would. The verse that tells me this is found in Galatians 6, 7 through 8. In the Message, the Bible states, "Don't be misled. No one makes a fool out of God. You harvest what you reap." The start of that verse is so important, and it's the only place where the reader in the Bible is warned not to be misled. What does misled mean? In the Oxford Dictionary, it means to cause someone to have a wrong idea or a wrong impression. Just because God is love, God forgives, God is good, doesn't mean that our lives are immune to what this verse states next. It says not to make a fool of God, and that what each of us plants or does in thoughts, actions, words, or deeds is what we will harvest. Clear message of this is there are consequences to our thoughts, deeds, and words. The most important thing to remember is that consequences will come. But God's with us in everything and still loves us immensely. It is what invokes the consequences. Consequences can be good. If we tithe, we'll receive a blessing. If we're joyful, joy will follow us. If we obey God's laws, then all will go well for us. We may still have trouble, but God will help us overcome it. Sometimes it's easy to anticipate doing the right thing will lead to harsh consequences. You might be thrown into the lion's den. The story of Daniel in the lion's den is one of the most loved stories in the Bible. I can remember it as a kid, growing up. I've heard many sermons in this church on it and in other churches around where I've grown up. The story is filled with intrigue and twists. A duped king forced to follow a rule he doesn't want. It's torn to pieces. Somehow, Daniel survives. Daniel makes the right choice based on his faith in God, knowing the consequences of being tossed into a den of hungry lions. Nobody wants to be thrown into the lion's den. But to remain true to God and faithful to our commitments, we must be willing to face those lions. Dare to be Daniel. Dare to make the right choices, the good, the God-honoring choices. Daniel stuck with his commitments. He chose the lion's den over freedom. Christians live in a world of spiritual hostility today where the temptation is to compromise our faith. It's with us every day. In many parts of the world, standing up for Christ means suffering and death. We continue to see Christians around the world killed for refusing to renounce their faith. For us, it may mean ridicule, being left out, perhaps being passed over, being shunned at school, peer pressure, whatever the case may be. It often leads to tension, both at home and on the job. The book of Daniel tells us how to live for God in a hostile environment. His example shows us that it can be done, but not without discomfort. I'm sure he was intimidated by the fact that he's in a den of lions. But I have no doubt that he had the faith that God was there, and he was ready to die. And he had faith that God, whatever God's will was going to take place. If you stick to your convictions, you're sure to come into trouble sooner or later. I think we've all been there at some point in time. The story of Daniel and the lion's den reminds us that there is always a spiritual battle raging. The devil himself is like a roaring lion who would devour us if he could. We find that in 1 Peter 5:8. The first part of Daniel 6 shows Daniel is a man of high character. He's committed to prayer. He consistently honors God throughout his life. He prays to God even when a law is written to make it illegal to pray. Character is everything. Here's a well-known essay about doing the right thing no matter what. People are often unreasonable, irrational, and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you're kind, people may accuse you of selfish ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you are successful, you will win some unfaithful friends and some genuine enemies. Succeed anyway. If you're honest and sincere, people may deceive you. Be honest and sincere anyway. What you spend years creating, others could destroy overnight. Create anyway. If you find serenity and happiness, some may be jealous. Be happy anyway. The good you do today will often be forgotten, but do good anyway. Give the best you have, and it will never be enough. Give your best anyway. In the final analysis, it's between us and God. It's never between us and them. Daniel's tossed into the lion's den because he refused to compromise. He chose to do right and accept the consequences. When you're committed to doing what is right based on your commitment and faith in God, what do you do when they call for the lions? What would we do when they call for the lions? I have always wondered. I mean, we never know what we're going to do if we're in a certain situation. We have it formulated in our mind when we see somebody else going through certain circumstances or certain situations. Well, if that, you know, if I was in their position, I would do this, I would do that. But what if you really were in their situation? Would you really? It's easy for us to be those armchair quarterbacks, so to speak, and say this is what should have been done. But when we are in that position, and we're having to make these difficult choices, what would we do? I know what we would like to think we would do, but what would we really do? If somebody walked through those back doors back there with a gun, or a whole group of people walked through those doors with a gun and threatened us if we're Christians, trying to get at. We never know what we'll do until we're actually in that situation. But our faith has to be just like Daniel's, that no matter what circumstance we're put in, God has a plan and God is in control. God shut the lion's mouth. God tamed the lions, because even with the lion's mouth tamed, they still got pretty sharp claws, do they not? He tamed the lion. If he did it for Daniel, don't you think he can do it for us in today's society? The answer is, we don't change a thing. Keep on serving the Lord. Keep on doing right. Keep on living for Christ. Whatever happens, happens. God is in control. Hold your head high. I would rather die with integrity than live with a compromised life. You can't buy a life at the dollar store. It takes courage to remain faithful to your commitments to the Lord Jesus Christ. Darius realized he'd been tricked in Daniel 6:14. Darius is the out-of-control king, and Daniel is a prisoner at peace. The king could not repeal his own law because it would make him look weak. Darius is rooting for Daniel, though. In Daniel 6:16, he sends Daniel off to the lion's den with these words, "May your God, whom you serve continuously, rescue you." What a testimony to Daniel's faith, even from somebody who was not a Christian. It was Daniel's reputation, Daniel's commitment, Daniel's testimony to those around him that even the king, even though he's the one that threw him in the den and sealed it, he was rooting for Daniel. Unbelievers recognize true faith in God. If you ever wonder if God hears the prayer of unbelievers, go no further than this amazing prayer of the king. I find it fascinating that in this entire chapter, there's no indication that Daniel prays to save his own skin. It's the king that is Daniel's greatest advocate. Daniel was in this mess because he refused to pray to the king. And now it is that king that is praying to God for Daniel. Daniel's thrown into the lion's den. He didn't know what would happen. The lion's den was a pit dug into the ground with an entrance from the side for the lions. A boulder was placed over the top. No one ever got out alive. Daniel was as good as dead, or so they thought. Notice what Daniel did not do. This is a lesson of what not to do when we're facing unfair consequences, even though what we did was right. Daniel did not try to escape the consequences of his decision to obey God. He knew his fate was in God's hands. He trusted God. He didn't know what was going to happen. He didn't make a deal with God to save his own life. He wasn't afraid to die for his commitment to God. He may have suspected that God would rescue him, but he couldn't be sure. The only thing he was sure of is that God was in control. Perhaps Daniel fell through the air may have been something like a simple trust in God. Daniel landed on the ground and later was pulled out. In Daniel 6:22, it explains an angel of God was sent to shut the mouths of lions. The end of Daniel 6:23 contains the simple key to Daniel's peace. He trusted God. All choices have consequences. When the king signed the law, Daniel was faced with a choice. Should he remain faithful to the Lord, or should he bow to the vanity of the king? Daniel did what he always did. He remained faithful to God. That night, the king, he didn't sleep very well, but Daniel slept like a baby. The king tossed and turned, paced the floor, refused all offers of entertainment, and even refused to eat. Early in the morning, he rushed out to the lion's den, hoping that Daniel had somehow survived. I find it amazing that the king even entertained the possibility that Daniel would be rescued. One person said it this way: I don't doubt that Daniel slept well, using one lion for a soft pillow and the long flowing mane of another lion for a blanket. God had tamed those lions. The end of the story comes quickly. The enemies who plotted against Daniel are thrown to the lions. We find that in Daniel 6:24. Then Darius offers public praise to the God of Daniel in Daniel 6:26-27. What amazing words from a pagan king. Or perhaps he is a pagan no more. Perhaps, like Nebuchadnezzar, he became a believer in the one true God. We won't know for sure till we get to heaven. Daniel 6 is a prelude to the story of Jesus Christ. The parallels between Daniel and Jesus are striking. Both are innocent. Both are hated. Both are condemned to die. Jesus was put in a tomb of death, and a stone was rolled across the entrance. Daniel did not literally die as Jesus, but Daniel was rescued, and in coming out of the pit, was figuratively resurrected to a new life. In Jesus Christ, we have the real deal. Jesus died and raised to a new life. Just as God sent an angel to Daniel, he also sent angels to the Lord Jesus Christ, who testified, "He is not here. He is risen, just as he said." From that pit of death came forth the Prince of Life. He is the one who has conquered death forever and ever. He is Daniel's God. His name is Jesus. He is our Savior, our Lord. Daniel's a mere human who shows us what it means to make the right decision and trust God regardless of the consequences. Daniel points to Christ. The same God who rescued Daniel will rescue us from our sin, from any of our circumstances, if we trust him. He has a plan, and he is in control. That's the most important choice that any individual can ever make, is whether or not they'll give their life to Jesus Christ, to trust him in all circumstances, good or bad. You can't buy, as I said, you can't buy life from a Dollar Tree. There's always consequences in the choice we make. The good news is that Jesus Christ paid the price when he died on the cross. Those who trust in Jesus are counted righteous in God's eyes, and their sins are forgiven forever. In one shining moment, our sins have been forgiven once we believe and trust in God and commit to him the ABCs. Admit our sins, believe on him, and commit to him. That should be a positive in our life, because other people see how we live and see whether we walk the walk. We can talk the talk, but do we walk the walk? They watch us. They see what's going on in our lives. God honors faithfulness, because Daniel remained faithful to God even to the point of being willing to die. God was with him and delivered him from his enemies and from the power of the lions. All choices have consequences. We need to make God-honoring choices, be faithful to God, and do what is right. The highest character choices are based on truth and faithfulness to our commitments. We need to dare to be a Daniel. Dare to make the right choices. What I want to hit on for the few remaining minutes I got is what I want to cover in the next time I have the opportunity to be here, and that is a more in-depth look at positive consequences for Christian living. We can develop a sense of purpose and meaning. We develop an inner peace and joy, stronger coping mechanisms, forgiveness and reduced guilt, and an abundant life. And as I go through these, when I get into the next opportunity, I want to go a little bit more in depth of explaining what those are, or at least what I think they are. Another one is the relational and community benefits, a positive consequence of our actions. We develop meaningful relationships and enhance family life, character develop, active service to others, a broader societal and health benefits, positive social contributions, healthier life choices, inspiring social justice, eternal rewards, the promise of eternal life and our rewards in heaven. How does faith affect our choices and values? How does it influence our decision making? What is the impact on our personal and social values? Fostering character traits. Balancing our faith and decision making. And some examples of faith-based actions, the historical and modern examples. And I want to cover as well some examples that's given in the Old Testament and the New Testament of biblical teachings on Christian living and the positive consequences of Christian living. I know I've cut it short today, but I don't really want to start on going into those until I have a full opportunity to cover them in one setting. So if you'll bear with me, hopefully Brother Duane will allow me the opportunity in the very near future to go through these, because there's a lot of positive to the consequences of a Christian living. We know a lot of the negative consequences. We know that no matter what we do, we're going to suffer consequences, good or bad. And what I want to concentrate on is the positive. I always try to look for the positive in things. There are times I'm a very negative person. Judy, my kids, my grandkids, they'll all tell you. There's a lot of times I'm very negative. I look, what is the worst thing can happen? And me, I've always tried to plan for the worst and hope for the best. But the one thing about it is I know that no matter how bad things may get, no matter how bad I may think I'm at the end of my rope, I never say it can't never get any worse. Because every time I say that, guess what? It makes a liar out of me. It gets worse. But the one thing I will say is I know who's in control, and I know he's got a plan, and I trust him. And I think we've all been there at some point in our life. We've had to trust God has a plan. We don't understand it right now, but someday we will. Someday his plans are going to come to fruition, and we'll understand it by and by. Brother Stacy, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir?